We are continuing today our study in the book of Ezekiel. Last week we talked about chapter 2 and into chapter 3, about how oftentimes God calls us merely, or I should say primarily, to be faithful, not successful. Some of his prophets were notified ahead of time, Ezekiel among them, that I'm calling you to deliver this message, and you know what? They're not going to listen. But that doesn't mean you should stop. You should continue to deliver this message no matter what. And we talked about how, in a sense, that is our calling to go out to the nations all around us, whether they listen to us or not. We talked about how we are called, Yeshua said, to be those kinds of people no matter what. That persecution on us was inevitable, that it was coming, but that doesn't mean that we should stop or that it was a sign of failure, but merely that it was a sign that we are a different kind of people than the world around us. So now we're in chapter 3 down to verse 15 of Ezekiel. Actually, verse 16. Well, let's start in 15. So Ezekiel saw the vision of God again at the end of that description of how he was called to preach, but not necessarily to be listened to. Verse 15, "Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Chebar at Tel Aviv, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, that that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, 'Get up, go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you.' So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there like the glory which I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet. He spoke with me and said to me, 'Go shut yourself up in your house. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. Moreover, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be mute and cannot be a man who rebukes them for their rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, Thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let them hear. And he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house.'" Since the passage was short, I thought I would just read it, and then we can go back and I can go over it. The first piece of this, well, actually, let's talk about the second piece first, is God was preparing Ezekiel to give the message. And God was very specific. You're not going to say a word unless it's the word I tell you to speak. In other words, you're not going to ad-lib this. You're not going to take this and add your own wisdom to this. You're not going to take this and run with it. I'm not asking you to be a wise man here. I'm not asking you to invent anything. I'm simply asking you to tell them what I tell you to tell them. That you are to pass that on without embellishment. Also, I'm presuming without subtraction. That he was not to take any pieces out because they were not as palatable. He was not to edit. He was not to spin doctor it. He was not to do anything but give them the word of God. That was the calling of this prophet. And we can, to that piece of it, we can certainly take wholeheartedly, because there's ample places in the New Covenant where it tells us to preach the word. Mostly to leaders, but it extends to everyone, to preach the word in season and out of season. Not our own opinions about the word, not our own thoughts that are independent from the word. God help us if we should read the word of God and follow it up with, but there's no escape clause here. The Word of God is the Word of God. It is to be preached, it is to be taught, it is to be spoken, it is to be lived. It is not to be compromised, it's not to be edited, it's not to be watered down, it's not to be adapted in the sense of taking pieces out and changing them around a little bit. It is what it is. From our cultural background, we can like it or not. It simply doesn't matter. Our culture is not going to last. It really isn't. Someday, it'll change or it'll pass. The Word of God is not going to change. It's not going to pass. It's not going to go away. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be the same. So the Word of God should be judging us and judging our culture and not vice versa. So we are to speak what God tells us to speak through His Word. We are not to hedge. We're not to bob. We're not to weave. We're not to juggle. We're not to hesitate. We're just to set it out. I mean, you know, it's tempting sometimes to edit our life experiences, our experience with the Word of God, what God has done with us, so as not to offend or trouble people. I mean, it gets even more interesting nowadays with social media. It came up the other night. I was going to post something on Facebook, and I stopped to think, well, is this going to offend some people that are on my list? And I stopped and thought, well, too bad. So I posted it anyway. You know, it was something regarding Scripture, what we were going to say this morning. So I'm going to post it. They don't like it? Well, they know how to shut me off and walk away. We have to get to that point where what we preach and teach is the Word of God. And even to the point of Ezekiel is going to, in the coming chapters, is going to act out some things. And it was very important that he was just to be God's mouthpiece. And there are a lot of ways in which we are called to be God's mouthpiece. That's the easy part. What I've been struggling with this week is the first part of this passage. First part of this passage calls Ezekiel specifically to be a watchman over the people of Israel. And what I've been struggling with about that is that no other prophet in Israel was called to be a watchman, nor are we in Scripture as believers ever referred to as watchmen. So that kind of makes it hard. And I will get to my conclusion to that in a little bit. The first place where it kind of says that we're to perform a task that is similar to that was what I already made mention to, is preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. A watchman has to be ready on the walls. He can't be sleeping. He can't be, you know, texting his buddy or playing Angry Birds or whatever on his cell phone instead of watching the city. God calls the watchman to be out there and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so in that sense, we are certainly called to do the same thing. Now, as leaders of congregations, in Hebrews chapter 13, there is a sense in which the leaders of churches, congregations, who are called by God to shepherd, are called, it says in verse 17 of Hebrews 13, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And this is one of the few places in Scripture where it tells anybody that they're going to be held accountable for keeping watch over anything. And so certainly for leaders of churches and congregation, some of the things that God talks about to Ezekiel hold true. That in that sense, leaders of the community, you know, leaders of congregations in terms of messianic rabbis and elders and pastors and whatnot, are called to watch over the flock, and we are accountable to God for the kind of job that we do, whether we in some sense, kind of like Ezekiel said, whether we warned people when it was appropriate, whether we kept silent when we shouldn't have, when we spoke when we shouldn't have, when we spoke things that were our own words instead of the words of God. There's somebody who wrote, I don't remember who it was, that this particular passage terrified him, and it is a scary thing for anybody who wants to have any sort of leadership role to have be held accountable by God to what you say and you don't say. Those who are not in positions of leadership, however, we go back to that, to Matthew chapter 5, and we talked about that in the context in the earlier portion of chapter 3 of Ezekiel and chapter 2, where we are called to be the salt of the earth, in Matthew 5:13, the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Matthew 5, verse 13, and then 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The role of believers in the New Covenant is a little different than the role of Ezekiel. We aren't called to speak as much as we are called to be the example. Ezekiel was designed to minister to a whole nation that was under the judgment of God and to tell them basically why they were under judgment. We instead are to be that light and that example to all the people around us so that they would see the presence of God in their midst. Because the presence of God is in us. I'm not saying that we're gods, but the Spirit of God dwells in us. So in a sense, we are carrying the light of God, the Spirit of God, into very dark places. That we are carrying the light in and among people who would never go out into the light themselves. We have that lantern, and we should be holding it high and not clutching it under our jackets so that nobody would see it. But rather, we're to hold that lantern high in our lives, in our words, and even our attitudes towards people, so that as we go out among them, that we are that salt and light. We're also told to disciple all nations, which is different than proclaiming God's judgment upon them. What we are told at the end of Matthew is that we are told to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. To make disciples of all nations is different than proclaiming God's judgment. Rather, we are to call people to God's mercy so that they would follow Him. We are called also to invite people into a relationship. So we are to be the heralds of the King and also the carriers of God's Spirit to invite people into that relationship with God. So that's why I'm struggling with this, because in a sense, the everyday believer nowadays is not really called to be a watchman over the whole country. And I think we get into trouble with that because that's not really the role of a believer. And nowadays we get too much tied up in it, particularly with this election season coming up. Whew! The kinds of things, it's like a food fight out of, a kindergarten food fight, watching people deal with the politics, particularly believers. Unfortunately, some of the believers even are putting rocks in their cream pies before they sling them. I mean, some of these things are really painful that they're slinging around. And they take this issue in Matthew to say that about being salt and light. But I believe that Yeshua in there was not talking about getting involved with politics and the life of the nation, but rather being this certain kind of people that he talks about in all that Sermon on the Mount. And if we are that kind of people, we will be light and no one will be able to escape it. See, if someone is of the nature of light, then someone will automatically be seen. That it is the very nature of light to be seen. It is when we try to hide the light that we run into trouble. If that light is seen, then it's going to cause a reaction. It's either going to cause people to run or people to come to the light. It's interesting in Scripture how silent both the Gospels and the Epistles and even the Book of Acts is about the relationship, about what kind of role nationally believers had. It's almost like nations were immaterial. It's like they're not there. It's like they're invisible. Paul and his missions group just transitioned through nation states as if it wasn't even important. You don't see anywhere in Scripture that they worked on that level of watchmen or calling a whole nation to repentance in the sense that Ezekiel called Israel to repentance, because you're not talking there about the demonstration people of God. You're talking about Gentile nations. But you have a ton of places where people are calling individuals to follow the Messiah, to individuals to live that holy life, individuals to follow after and fall in to be that salt and light. It is a difficult enough path that we have in our life that your everyday believer is not really told that they are responsible for the judgment of God upon the people around us, because one of the things that is a blessing and also a frustration is that unlike the nation of Israel, which was God's demonstration nation, that, you know, chosen people of God, I've spoken of this before, that the Jewish people were chosen by God to stand up on the stage so that God could demonstrate something in them. So when the Jewish people sinned, God demonstrated His holiness and His righteousness. But that is not true of other nations of the world, and that's not necessarily true of individuals. You can have somebody living a very unrighteous life, and it seems like the judgment of God never falls on them. Well, we're not dealing with this demonstration nation now in that person. So you're not saving somebody from the physical judgment of God, but you might very well be saving somebody from the eternal punishment of God. But that's not by how they act, but by who they are. And the best way to change who they are is by, or the only way to change who they are, is by introducing them to the Messiah of all, that they can establish that relationship, that God can make them someone different. Because otherwise, people cannot really substantially change their own behavior. They can maybe do some tweaks here or there, but for really a heart-changing, 180-degree, turn them right side up kind of thing, a different kind of person, only God can do that. And we are called to be witnesses rather than watchmen. We are called to be light. We're called to be salt. We're called to be God's Word, the presence of God's Word and the people around us. I wouldn't worry too much about being watchmen. I'd worry about all the other things that we're not doing, because you look at how believers are seen and pictured today. Sometimes unfairly, but sometimes fairly, that we are not portrayed as loving and righteous and pure in spirit and all the rest of the things that Yeshua talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, but rather we are portrayed as ignorant and angry. Well, I don't know about the ignorant part, but too many times believers have been too angry about things that God is not angry about. And that is something that has not served us well. Instead, we're to be that salt and light. If we are that salt and light, then people will see us. We're to be watched rather than the watchman. We're to be seen. We're to be heard. We're to be God's representatives. And that's what God's calling us to be. But yet there have been people who have been watchmen and watchwomen in our lives in particular times, and we can thank God for those people that have spoken up at the right time and the right place. Let's pray. Dearest God and Father, I thank you for entrusting us with your word, with the presence of your Spirit. I ask that you would open up our eyes, that we would not fail in the times of opportunity, but rather we would take advantage of everything that you've provided in order to glorify you, to praise your name, to lift up the name of our Messiah, and to preach your word to everyone who will listen, that your name might be praised in all of the parts of our world that we can reach for the glory of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.